Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Welcome back to another edition of Through the Smoke, a Miami Hurricanes football and recruiting podcast here on the 24/7 Sports Network. David Lake, joined as always by Gabby Urrutia, here on the first half of the show. The second half of the show, after the break, we will be joined by Southeast recruiting analyst Andrew Ivins, a Through the Smoke / InsideTheU.com alum, to discuss the recruiting efforts along with Gabby. So going to be a full show here. Lots of news flying, of course, following the Mario Cristobal introductory press conference. With the most recent news, as we record here at 11:38 a.m. on Thursday morning, Dan Radakovich, the former now Clemson athletic director, has been officially announced as Miami's new athletic director. With that, Gabby, I'll just hand it off to you. What are your thoughts? I mean, things have kind of been trending this way, it seems like, since, especially since Mario Cristobal was hired. What do you think this means, just big picture wise? Because I think, you know, look, a lot of fans, even me, really, I don't know necessarily what an athletic director does day to day. I can't tell you like who the top 20 athletic directors in the country are, but I think everyone knows that Dan Radakovich is one of the best athletic directors in the country from what he did at Clemson. So, I guess just what are your thoughts on this addition to the UM athletic department?
Yeah, man. I think my biggest takeaway is just the push that this university is making for this football program and just how serious they're taking everything. I mean, they just took Clemson's athletic director. Like, I feel like that needs to, that's really big. I mean, this guy has, two football national titles under his belt. I mean, really helped build that Clemson football program, which was always a pretty good program, but never what it has been over the last, seven, 8 years or whatever it is. I mean, that's a big deal that you're able to dip into a school like that and snag the athletic director. So for me, I think it's more of just a statement about the buy-in of this Miami football program, the buy-in from, buying into the administration and the commitment that they are willing to make towards this athletics department, you know, with the football program, of course, specifically, and, you know, really just people that have a reputation of winning, of doing this at a high level, of upgrading facilities and upgrading clubs. Like, Clemson has like one of the craziest football facilities in the country. They have like a slide in their football facility or something like that. It's crazy. A guy that knows what it looks like at the biggest level, at the highest level of the sport. And, I just think it's massive, man. I think it's huge to go get a guy like that for Miami.
Yeah. I like this hire, obviously for some of those reasons you just named, right? I think there's three main reasons why I like this hire right now, as we stand, right? First one, I don't know how much this necessarily matters, but I do like it from an optic standpoint, right? The higher, you know, look, a week ago at this time, we were dealing with the narrative that was false. And I kept trying to tell people this on InsideTheU.com and through this podcast forum, that the narrative that Miami's athletic director search was a mess was false, right? So I do like that this kind of slays that false narrative in the process of exposing some bad leaks that were around the UM athletic department. So Just know that you people have now been exposed even more so than you already were. And look, I think it also is of course a guy that, and look, from a big picture sense, all of these moves are really about one thing. The University of Miami is giving the athletic department / football program the opportunity to operate as a big business, right? And that's the whole reason why Julio Frank has become engaged. His advisors have shown him or outlined to him how football, athletics, but specifically football, can be a revenue generator for the university, right? It's similar in a lot of ways to the investment on the front end that the university made, 14, 15 years ago for UHealth, right? That cost a lot of money on the front end to get that established, that health system. 15 years later, it is a significant revenue stream for the university. Now, Miami's athletic department, Miami's football program is not going to be that type of revenue stream for the university, but it can still bring in tens of millions of dollars. And if things really get rolling, potentially hundreds, close to $100 million for the university. And so this is another reason why they are making these big investments by what I've been told, doubling a Dan Radakovich's salary at Clemson, bringing in a Mario Cristobal, giving him the resources to put together a top flight staff. And also look, a Dan Radakovich has a track record of running an athletic department like a business, right? According to reports, the Clemson athletic department revenue nearly doubled from 2014 to 2019. So in a 5-year span, the Clemson athletic department revenue went from $69 million to $120 million, right? So he knows how to take it there. And also, too, he has the reputation, as you alluded to, Gabby, as being an athletic director that is fully willing to give the football program everything they feel like they need / want to succeed, right? And we all know at the University of Miami, I mean, honestly, in college athletics in general nowadays, it all starts with football. And he made that significant commitment to Clemson nearly a decade ago, right? And, that combined with good leadership with Dabo Swinney, et cetera, things have taken off there. And also too, he's a guy that builds facilities, builds buildings. I think the stat is he has completed more than $200 million in facility updates, upgrades, builds for many different sports, right? I think the football facility, obviously, but also like baseball, tennis, softball, et cetera, et cetera. So he's a guy that really does understand how to raise money, really does understand how to run an athletic department like a big business, right? And again, this is the main theme with all this stuff. Why is Julio Frank finally engaged? Why is the UM senior leadership finally engaged? Really, it comes down to the big business potential, right? Also, they understand the community aspect of football and how it's important for the University of Miami football team to bring the community together. And they do understand that it's an important factor for the school in general, the football program. So yeah, I mean, Radakovich, again, the narrative of this thing being a mess was false. From the start, the two main targets to lead the athletic department and the football program were Dan Radakovich at Clemson and Mario Cristobal at Oregon. And, were some aspects of it
messy,
cutthroat?
Cutthroat. That's a better way to put it.
Yes, they were. You know, Blake James was, they parted ways with Blake James kind of out of nowhere, right? Manny Diaz, they strung along. You could argue too long. I wouldn't push back against that, but they did string him along nonetheless. But look, at the end of the day, in big business, this is how it goes, right? It's a results-oriented deal when you're doing stuff, not only in athletics, where it should only be about wins and losses, but in big business, it's also about wins and losses and making big money. So the hope here, the vision here, right? Everyone knows now, Dan Radakovich turned Miami into a big money making venture while also having a vision with your connections as one of the best athletic directors in the country for the future, right? Conference realignment is always going to be a topic moving forward in college football. You know, understanding what is the ACC's plan for generating more revenue with their TV deal. So
that's a big deal too. And we've talked about that in the past too, of just how like ACC needs to restructure this television deal. And I feel like, you know, obviously as a guy that ran Clemson, I'm sure he's someone that understands that it needs to be revved up a little bit.
Right. I mean, once the SEC's new TV deal fully kicks in, I think it's projected where they might make 4 times more per year than what the ACC will make. So that's going to be a competitive imbalance if the ACC doesn't somehow get that changed, or if Miami somehow doesn't get that changed, right? So yeah, it's an exciting time. Big time improvements in leadership, I think. Big upgrades, both at athletic director and football coach. Which kind of brings us to our next topic here. It was reported, I think the day of his introductory press conference, that Mario Cristobal will be given the largest staffing pool in the ACC, the largest budget, right? Clemson, I believe, is somewhere this year like 8.2-ish, 8.1, 8.2, 8.3, somewhere within there. Don't have exact numbers on what Miami's would be, but north of that, right? And that salary pool puts you in the neighborhood with Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, Ohio State, Texas A&M, these big-time programs that seriously invest in their assistant coach staffing pool. And again, these are only assistant coaches. These aren't like the support staffers with the recruiting people, the nutritionist, the strength coach. Those people don't count towards this pool. So, Gabby, how big of a deal is that? Because I think that is a massive deal, and I think it's honestly getting a little underplayed.
I mean, that's just like the Mario Cristobal was something we've never seen before in terms of a financial commitment. Just like Dan Radakovich, this whole thing is something like we've never seen. This assistant pool is something like we've never seen before here at Miami. And what you're able to do with $8 million that just go to your assistants is massive, because it's not like every assistant's making $1 million or here and there. Like, you can pay like top, you can pay like, you know, less than $1 million and get one of the best position coaches out there. You know, like you can spread around this money in a way that you can get extremely highly qualified coaches at every single position. And maybe you bargain hunt at a position here if you want to go like huge at one. And it just gives you so much flexibility to go get like, and even in terms of coordinators, this gives you the capability to go get a top coordinator or a top offensive coordinator, a top defensive coordinator, whatever it is. You know, I just think it puts you in play for virtually, maybe not everybody, but I mean, for extremely, it gives you a chance. Exactly. You can put a check in front of almost any coordinator in the country, and you could at least compete with whatever it is that they're making now. So I think that's huge, man. And
I will say this, Miami this year did have the second highest, assistant coach staffing salary pool, however you want to phrase it, in the ACC, but it was still a pretty significant gap between Miami and Clemson, who was number one. My impression is that if Miami is to leapfrog Clemson, which is what is being reported, that would be basically like an additional two to $2.5 million more dollars to play with for the staffing, which again, that puts you in the SEC game, that puts you in the Big Ten game. So yeah, it is a big deal, right? In terms of like comparing it to ACC, Miami staffing was highly competitive, right? One of the best, but Miami's trying to take that next step, right? Nationally. And to do that, this is the type of investment you have to make on the front end for coaches. And, you know, there's a lot of like Joe Brady smoke out there, right? The former LSU offensive coordinator and Carolina Panthers coordinator. It takes this type of staffing pool to attract a guy like that who, honestly, and I think in the open market, this is just my guess, I think a guy like that commands around $2 million to be a college-level offensive coordinator, which would be by far the most that Miami's ever paid an offensive coordinator.
And, I mean, just not even from a money standpoint, just like Joe Brady. I mean, look what he did with like that LSU offense. Let's say he is a guy that you can go out and get. It's just, it puts you in that discussion where it's just, you can go get a Joe Brady. Like the fact that we're even talking about a Joe Brady type, I think is just extremely exciting. And sure, maybe let's say it just doesn't land on Joe Brady or whatever happens. But I mean, those are the type of guys that you can aim for. And I think that's something crazy. I mean, obviously Rhett Lashley was one of the most respected offensive minds, you know, in college football, and that's why he got the SMU job. And I think he did a lot of great things here, but I mean, he sort of set the foundation, and now you can get more, you know, top dollar, you know, brilliant right. minds to sort of continue to build on top of that. It's not like you're going to have to take a step back now and be like,
and it okay, is my understanding. It's my understanding that they paid Rhett Lashley well. I don't know exactly the number, but right. he was well paid is my understanding.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
And Dan Enos was as well. So Miami's shown that they want to pay top dollar for coordinators. Now they can even pay more, I guess, in addition to sprinkling more amongst the to attract quality position coaches, right? Because as we know, this isn't just like a head coaching game. A staff is vitally important. Again, it's the big money era in college football. You got to spend if you're going to win right. at a high, high level. So what do we know in terms of the Miami staff's transition in terms of the guys Mario might look to bring with him, right? We mentioned, I think, in the post-introductory press conference podcast that Alex Mirabal was there in attendance, ready to go, chomping at the bit, glad to be back in the 305. So he's obviously going to be the offensive line coach, right? You heard as well about another Oregon assistant probably coming over once, I would presume, early signing / the bowl game is wrapped up with Oregon. Tell us about that, coach.
Yeah, I think one of the guys that Mario Cristobal and those guys could look to bring over is Brian McClendon. He was, I believe he was the wide receivers coach and pass game coordinator at Oregon. South Georgia native, he was the 24/7 sports recruiter of the year when he was the running backs. I think it was the running backs coach at Georgia. You know, he spent, I think he was there from like 2007 to 2014, and he was responsible for bringing in Todd Gurley, Sony Michelle, Keith Marshall, Nick Chubb, Isaiah Crowell, who's a name drop, but was a big time dude at the time. So, you know, just had a really, really big recruiting impact in South Georgia. He also spent a couple years at South Carolina as their offensive coordinator, coached up Deebo Samuel and Brian Edwards, I believe, who's with the Raiders now. I think he was a part of that recruitment process, that recruiting process. So, you know, a really, really highly respected recruiter and, you know, a guy that, you know, I think has a lot of respect within the industry. And again, just a big time name that Mario Cristobal sort of attached himself to and that really helped him out at Oregon. He was a big piece in landing, I don't know how to say his name. I think it's Teta Toroya McMillan. He's a West Coast guy who, you know, just being around the 7-on-7 circuit, someone down here from Miami called him the best wide receiver that they've ever seen with like their own two eyes, that he was just an absolute freaky dude. I think they call him like the flying Hawaiian or something like that, like some Shane Victorino type stuff. And you know, that's a big time recruiting when that Oregon was able to have over like, you know, Southern Cal and some of those California schools. So, you know, I think that this would be a big time name. Again, nothing's official yet. He is the interim head coach at Oregon right now through the bowl game. So I think if anything becomes official there, it would probably come out maybe a little bit later. I'm not sure how
after well the early makes. Signing.
Right. Maybe after the early signing period. I don't think they can just say, hey, this guy's gone right now and he's coaching the team for the Alamo Bowl. So I think we got to kind of wait a little bit before that one becomes official, but I would expect it to be.
Yeah, typically the way business is handled, whether you agree with it or not, they finish out recruiting through the early signing period for their current school, and then coaching moves are made, right? So maybe after the early signing period, even though McClendon is going to still be the interim head coach at Oregon, you still might see an announcement between those two dates. Like you were saying, McClendon, Oregon guy, but his roots are in the Southeast, right? So from a recruiting perspective, like you were saying, Gabby, state of Georgia, which I think is an area Miami doesn't necessarily tap into enough, he would certainly help those efforts in addition to his pedigree as a coach, right? He is a good coach as well. The other guy, Aaron Feld, right? The mustached Oregon strength coach.
Juicy.
Yeah, juicy. he's from the Southeast originally. And, you know, typically strength coaches are tied to their head coach as well. So it's really no surprise that he is expected to come to Miami as well with Cristobal. It's been floated by me too. Rod Chance, Oregon's cornerbacks coach, might be a guy to keep an eye on. I don't know if that's like as much of a done deal as these previous three guys we talked about, but just a guy to know. I've also
Aquinas alum. I think that's notable. He's from Fort Lauderdale. Rod Chance.
Fair. And Ken Wilson, who I think is their linebackers coach, might be in the running for the Nevada job, I think, as the head coach job. So he's a name to watch. If he doesn't get that job, maybe a linebacker coach for UM. So just some names to know, a lot of moving parts. Again, early signing period, unless these coaches are free agents like a Joe Brady. Typically, moves aren't happening too much until after the early signing period. Next topic, John Ruiz. Deep-pocketed booster, projected billionaire 20 times over. Making a strong push, Gabby, to build a stadium, right? And I don't necessarily need or want to get in the weeds about the Coral Gables High School plan, all that stuff, right? What do you think, though, of just the vision, the fight he's up for to try and build a stadium for the University of Miami somewhere?
Yeah, I mean, I respect the effort. I really respect the vision. I respect that they want to get it done. All those types of things. I imagine they're going to run into roadblock after roadblock after roadblock in this. I think, just building a stadium here in just this general area. I'm in South Miami. I ride my bike to UM, you know, in the mornings when we have media availabilities. I would find it extremely difficult to find a space to build a stadium. Again, but I don't question these guys though. Like, you know, these guys went out and helped get Mario Cristobal from Oregon. These guys have, I feel like these guys typically get their way. So again, I wouldn't be super surprised if all this happens, but I'm doubtful. I think I'm naturally skeptical with this whole thing, but I respect the hustle. I respect the willingness to sort of give this a shot. And honestly, man, I never sort of put it past guys like that with just deep pockets that just really want to get something done to get it done. So we'll see how this goes, but I'm going to be very interested to follow this sort of process or these ideas.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be an interesting saga to follow. Again, location does matter, right? And we'll see if they can get it done. I'm with you though. I like the effort. I like the vision. Last thing, and then we'll take a break and we'll get into some recruiting talk. Sounds like Jess Simpson, the defensive line coach is set to be the interim head coach for the bowl game against Washington State and El Paso. Rob Likens, the current wide receiver coach, expected to be the offensive coordinator. And Travaris Robinson, the secondary coach, expected to be the defensive coordinator. So I don't know, Gabby, we don't need to get into this too much, but to me, that those all make sense, right? Jess Simpson was a high school head coach, very successful in the state of Georgia for a long, long, long time. That makes sense to me. Rob Likens has experience as an offensive coordinator. That makes sense to me. T-Rob, obviously been a DC at South Carolina prior to his arrival at Miami. That also makes sense to me. Anything else to add there?
No, not really. I mean, I feel like that's about how I thought that would go. So that definitely makes sense.
All right. So we will see. We'll get to Sun Bowl talk, though, once we get through early signing and assistant coach, staff filling, all that stuff. So let's take a break. And then on the other side, we will get to the part of the show everyone's been waiting for, and that is recruiting talk with Gabby and Andrew Ivins.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, we are back. We got Andrew on the pod with us. Andrew, let's just start here, right? Because you are a Through the Smoke and Inside the U alum, right? So I'm just curious, like, how do you absorb all of this that's been going on with Miami right now, all these big moves? I'm just curious, like, how are you kind of taking it all in over the past week?
I guess I haven't really thought about it all that much because it happened so fast. I mean, I don't know if it happened so fast, but I think there's always been the rumors of will Mario come home? Is he going to come home? And, you know, then it happened. It's like, oh, okay, I guess that did happen. And, you know, I have different memories of Mario, having interacted with him at different high schools and out on the recruiting trail. And you hear stories and you see the guys that he gets, and it's like, all right, like, is this not an act, but like, would he be able to do this at Miami? And it's like, well, why wouldn't he? And we're only two or three days into the crystal ball era. And, you know, it's going to win a press conference. I thought he made some interesting comments in it, and he's really attacking it, but everyone's attacking it right now. But I've been impressed with what he's doing, and I'm impressed that Miami pulled it off. If you've ever been out to Oregon, the facilities there are awesome. But at the same time, you know, I think there's always that desire and that calling to come home. And I think it was just for Miami, like they made the package too sweet and just, it made a ton of sense.
Does that financial commitment Miami's making now surprise you? Cause it still does me, honestly.
Yeah, I think so for sure. I mean, how long did it take him to get an IPF?
Right.
It's surprising for sure. And just with how the last search went, with them settling real fast on Manny Diaz, that was it's like a 180. And I know it's kind of similar. They settled quickly on Mario, but they knew who they wanted and they got that guy.
Right. And you have a little bit of crossover with Dan Radakovich. You covered Clemson for a little bit in your career. Do you have any impression of him at all? Did you deal with him much as an AD?
You got me mixed up. I covered Notre Dame, not Clemson.
Oh, that's right. You know, I'm sorry.
That's all right. You know. I'm like one of those people that can only name 6 or 7 ADs on my fingers. And that's only because I've somehow had to cover that school and I know who the AD is. Like, I'm not like a big AD hot board guy.
You did live in North Carolina, correct?
I did.
Yeah.
So I don't know anything about Dan. I mean, yeah. I've been to Clemson. I've been multiple times.
Right.
And they have a Disney World of facilities there. And I think he's somewhat responsible for that.
Definitely. All right. So let's get into kind of the early returns of Mario, right? You said it's been like 2 or 3 days. It feels like it's been a week, honestly, just because of news is flying in fast, right? So I'll let you start here, Andrew, and then Gabby, you can tack on or have a conversation too about your early impressions about what Mario's doing so far on the trail. What's impressed you, Andrew?
I don't know how to preface this. Like, I don't know if he's done something where it's like really impressed me. Sure. He's kind of just done everything that I thought he would do. Him making a showing at the Miami Central, him getting into Earl Little's home, him getting into Nigel Lee Kelly's home. I think actually I'll take that back. The thing that was most impressive to me is on his flight from Oregon to Miami. So that would have been Monday night, that private flight, which we've all seen photos of. He was already working the phones for Miami, right, texting kids and stuff like that. So that's where I would be impressed. And why am I impressed by that? Because, you know, I've had to interact with all, to some degree, with all these other big coaching changes. You know, last week I kept asking kids, well, hey, have you heard from Brian Kelly? And it's like, no. I have not heard from Brian Kelly, and you know, there can be a number of different reasons why, but he seems to have attacked it much faster. And I think that's just the sign of an elite recruiter.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, just adding on to that, and he just really just, I guess the way he approached everything, just going from press conference to Miami Central to Earl Little Jr.'s home to Nigel Lee Kelly's home. I mean, the next day hopping on a flight, going to Texas, you know, sort of attacking the guys that, you know, he had already circled that Oregon, that he had committed to him at Oregon. And again, just sort of not being afraid to maybe even pursue those guys like a Kelvin Banks that, you know, what are the chances he can flip him to Miami? But he's still sort of trying, you know, he still made that effort to try to get out there and work through, you know, work with a Kelvin Banks type where it could be, you know, a guy that he obviously identified that really, he really wanted at Oregon that, you know, he's obviously done it at an extremely high level, both him and Alex Mirabal. So, you know, so just sort of not being afraid to take those big swings at guys like that, you know, even with in-state programs like Texas A&M and Texas pushing and all that stuff. Same thing with Cameron Williams going over there to meet with him and doing all those things. And just sort of how he's been bouncing in and out of everywhere, you know, even with those guys that, he had committed to him at Oregon. I was just texting back and forth with Darius Clemens, who's a top 247 wide receiver out of the Portland area that was trending towards Oregon. And, you know, he's definitely considering Miami now. Like, he just told me his dad played at Miami Northwestern. Like, what are the chances a kid from Oregon like that has Miami ties? He said his dad's family is still here in Miami. So, like, Mario Cristobal's going to attack that. And he might have, what now, I guess 6 days to make something happen like that. But, you know, he's going to sort of gut through it and just try to figure out what he can sort of, you know, make happen here, you know, down this final stretch. So, you know, I just respect the effort and his willingness to really attack the recruiting stuff. And, you know, he said it during his press conference, he's going to relentlessly attack recruiting. And I feel like he's sort of held that up, you know, pretty quickly.
Yeah, his gas tank has been pretty impressive here in the
early
going.
That's all the bro. That's all the cafe cubano and all that stuff that's just injected in his veins right now.
Lots of caffeine. I guess, Andrew, you're the 24/7 sports state of Florida / Southeast guy. I'm curious, you know, it's early, right? It's all projecting. But what do you think this means recruiting-wise, the impact Mario going to Miami for, you know, the big three in the state of Florida, but also just the SEC schools that try and cherry pick out of the state as well?
Well, you know, I've been using this line again for like a week now, but it's really only been a few days. I think if you're Alabama and Georgia, you're a little bit concerned. I think definitely if you're Florida and Florida State. Now, I do not expect Mario to get every blue chip kid in South Florida. I don't even know if you want to do that. But I think he's just going to make it much, much harder for these guys to get away. And I circle back to when Manny took over for Mark Richt. You know, I thought, hey, maybe Manny can kind of get this thing going with some new energy and make it hard. And I think he connected more with the older veterans in the transfer portal. I recall some instances where he would tell kids, If you don't sign with us or I don't get you, you know, I'm going to get fired. You know, he said that notably with DeQuincy Roche. So I think that was kind of – Manny didn't really click with some of the local kids. I definitely don't think he clicked with the high school football coaches community, the circles, whatever word you want to use for it. You know, sure. I don't think there was a ton of people pushing their kids towards Miami. And maybe now that we're removed from it, maybe that's because of Manny. And then on the opposite side, you know, Mario, he gets it. And I was out at St. Thomas Aquinas on Wednesday night, Tuesday night. I'm trying to keep them all together, just talking with different coaches from around the country, you know, it's a bunch of not gossip, but you're kind of comparing notes. And I was talking with one coach and they're like, Mario gets it. Like, he gets it. It's kind of one of those things where if you understand the South Florida landscape and the culture, right, like if you know, you know, and Mario definitely knows. And I go back to the press conference, you know, I was watching from my kitchen when Gabby asked the question about recruiting. And I think Mario hit a grand slam walk-off home run with what he said about how football is life down here. He brought up the coaches and how much credit they don't get, talked about how it's their vocation to get these guys scholarship offers. You know, he checked off every box. And, you know, these coaches who are so protective of their kids and want the best are going to want their kids to go to Miami, in my opinion. And again, I don't think they're going to get all of them, but I think Mario is going to, he's not going to clean up, but man, like he's gonna be in it with every big guy, I think. And you know, we'll see how he fills out this recruiting staff, what it looks like from an evaluation standpoint. I would not be surprised if he still cherry picks nationally, and I think that's what you need to do if you're Miami. You can't rely just on this backyard. But again, if I'm Alabama and I'm Georgia and I'm used to coming down here and grabbing a Jordan Battle and grabbing a Dallas Turner, you know, grabbing a Josh Jobe, like all those guys, I think Mario makes it where it's not as easier for them to get away. And now some of them still will get away. And then tying this all in with Florida and the big three, you know, we'll see what happens with Florida. I think they made a great hire, obviously, with Corey Raymond. You know, there's some rumors out there that Juwan Sider could end up in Gainesville. So, you know, I'm not going to be too quick to judge that staff Florida has, but they don't really have a ton of Florida ties. Billy Napier doesn't have any Florida ties, so I think it's going to be even harder for them to get down here. Again, we'll see how they fill this thing out. Like, to me, if they got Sider, that would be huge. Florida State, on the other hand, you know, they just promoted Randy Shannon. I mean, that move makes a ton of sense. I think I called that in our group chat, like, in September. Absolutely. I was like, yeah, I'm like, he's going to be a guy just because they need that presence. But FSU has tried so hard to get into South Florida. They're going to get some guys out of here, but they're at the FIU camp. They work that camp, so they want to be here. And Mario is going to make it harder for them to operate. No doubts about that.
If I had to pin you down, Andrew, and say the biggest impact in recruiting will be felt in what way? Would you say putting the fence up around South Florida? Do you think Mario, because I agree with your take on recruiting more nationally in terms of getting elite guys nationally. Do you feel like that's where it might be felt? Yeah.
Yes, I do. I do. I do. I think the easy narrative for the newspaper guys be like, oh, Mario's going to get everyone. They're going to put a fence around here. That's all they need. And it's like, yeah, I mean, I think they're going to get some more guys home. But I think Mario is such a national name that kids want to play for him. And is that the Nike Oregon thing, the uniforms? Maybe there's a little bit of that, but it doesn't matter because he's already got that shine from being at Oregon. When the reports started coming out on Sunday, I mean, there was like big name five-star kids from across the country that are like retweeting it with you emojis, I emojis. So I think, you know, what is the biggest thing you're going to get? It's the access to those blue chippers. And I think it'll look a lot like what Miami saw in 2018 under Mark Richt when they got a Brevin Jordan. Who else was in that class? Jeff Thomas, like when they were getting those guys, but at the same time, keeping a good crop, a good wave of those kids home. And obviously some of those guys haven't panned out, but, that's what I think it does for you. Like they can recruit a little nationally, kind of what some of these big time SEC programs do.
So I want to talk now about some of the targets that might be a little more interested. I mean, they were already interested, right, in Miami somewhat, but now they might be a little more interested that Mario is there. And Gabby, I'll go to you with this one. Nigelie Kelly, what are you hearing on that front in that regard with him and kind of where things stand with Miami now? Because he was highly interested in Oregon before this coaching change.
Yeah, I'll tag that, but I kind of want to pass that to Andrew because I know he just wrote something up on his conversation with Nigelie. So, Andrew, do you want to like hop on
that? No, man, all you. You're versed in everything. You live down here.
Yeah, I think it's important. Like, I think that it's a big deal that, you know, obviously Oregon was sitting in the driver's seat. It felt like they were at least, you know, heading into, you know, just down this home stretch of, you know, going towards early signing day and all that stuff. So, yeah, I think it's an absolutely huge deal. Mario Cristobal is able to get in with a guy like Nigelie, basically, again, like hit the ground running with him. They already had an established relationship there. Again, if Oregon was located in Georgia or even like, you know, anywhere closer, I think there's a chance he could have been committed there already. So I think what Mario Cristobal does in, you know, with those relationships, with those types of guys, like, you know, Nigelie Kelly is a major talent from down here. He's a guy you don't want to let get away. And to sort of put yourself back in play and just really just in the thick of things down this final stretch, you're going to get him in for a visit this weekend. You know, what does his picture look like coming off of that? I think that there's a good chance that, you know, Miami puts themselves in a really good spot off of that one. So, you know, what Miami's able to do there with a guy like Nigelie Kelly is huge. I mean, it's a guy that you probably wouldn't have gotten that you might get now due to this hire and at a premium position like pass rusher. We talked all the time. How many times have we talked about the pass rushers, you know, the defensive linemen here just throughout the state of Florida, you know, in South Florida specifically, you needed to get a couple of those guys. I think Mario Cristobal with Nigelie Kelly puts Miami in a much better spot to get a guy like that now.
Andrew, do you think Miami's the favorite now for Nigelie?
I do. I do. I mean, I've spent so much time with Nigelie, and he's an awesome kid. You know, he's only 17 years old. I think if people don't realize that he could actually be a 2023, and that makes him a unique prospect. I'm not going to say he's like the most mature kid or anything like that. I'm not going to sit here and say that, but he's smart and calculated. You know, he told me last week if Oregon was located in South Florida, he'd be committed to Oregon. Right. And then, you know, now Mario's coming here. Told me today that it's a huge deal that Miami got Mario and that he really wasn't a big fan of Manny Diaz. So yeah, I think Miami's in the driver's seat. You know, what the reason why he was, you know, distance was a factor. I think one of the reasons why Miami was getting the last visit is because of David Cooney, Tavares Robinson, DeMarcus Van Dyke. Like those guys are in his ear. You know, Nigelie has never once brought up Jess Simpson, or if he has, it's been a while, which I think is kind of like eye-raising. You know, why is he not involved in the recruitment? So I do think, I mean, you always want that last face-to-face we'll see. I know Auburn took him to, I thought it was a Flanagan's. It was a quarter deck. No. Maybe it was Duffy's. Ooh.
It looked like an Outback or something.
No. It was a Duffy's. Okay. I saw a menu.
You got to go Flanagan's.
Yeah.
What are they you were doing?
Quarter deck is a great option too.
I'm a Flanagan's guy, man.
I'm a huge, of course, huge Flanagan's guy.
Yeah. What's your go-to order?
I mean, lunch special is when I usually go, and I'll get 10 wings and, you know, a sweet tea for like $7.99.
Mexican Monday.
Oof.
No free shout-outs.
Hot wings, some rib rolls.
It's not a shout-out if it's true. We're speaking the truth. Yeah, okay.
Flanagan's the spot.
And so final thing on Nijalik. I mean, Auburn was trying to get that visit. You know, Florida State, they were in on Sunday night with all their coaches. I mean, you know, kind of the rule of thumb in these things is you want the last visit, you want the last face-to-face. And yes, there are scenarios where that doesn't pan out for you, but it seems like everything's just trending in the right direction for Miami. So I don't have a crystal ball in yet. I'm assuming I will have one in here soon.
Let's stick with local defensive lineman, 5-star Shamar Stewart at a Monsignor Pace. Mario saw him on Wednesday. Andrew, you had the little follow-up about the, you know, giving insight into what is going on there. How did anything change there, I guess, with Mario getting hired at UM, in your opinion?
Yes. I think the door's starting to open a little bit when it comes to Miami and Shamar Stewart. And Shamar is a guy that has hung around that program. He knows a ton of people in Coral Gables. When I'm talking about players, he also is close with DeMarcus Van Dyke, who's obviously a Monsignor Pace alum. Let's not forget Miami held one of their scrimmages at some point, preseason scrimmages at Pace. Like, Miami has always wanted him. And from what I heard, just that conversation, I thought it was risky that Miami decided to burn the Mario visit now, because you only get one head coach in-home visit. And Shamar's not planning to wait until February to sign. So I know Georgia, Texas A&M, they're saving their Jimbo Fisher, Kirby Smart face-to-faces. But from what I was told, Mario wanted to go in on Wednesday because he feared that Shamar could take an unofficial visit to Texas A&M this weekend, that he is going out to Texas A&M, commit to the Aggies and sign next Wednesday during the early signing period. Now, that could still happen. But from what I heard and gathered, it was an eye-opening kind of face-to-face. Mario showed up to the school in a car service. I guess that's how he's getting around town. Doesn't have a car, so he's rolling around in like a black Escalade with a driver, which was – someone pointed out to me, which I thought was pretty funny. I don't think Manny Diaz ever did anything like that. And he made a big impression. That's the first time Shamar had ever met Mario Cristobal. I think COVID-19 okay. is a big reason why. You know, there's never that ever happened, but I think it impressed them. I think Miami will get an official visit in January, and we'll see. But Texas A&M is building something special out in College Station. So my crystal ball remains there. But I think Miami, again, kind of cracking that door a little bit.
Or a little. What do we need to know about that one?
It's an interesting one. I was talking to a contact this morning, just trying to get a gauge of what's going on there. And I said, that's all Mario. And it is. I haven't been able to confirm who all actually went in home with the littles on.
I think it was just Cristobal and Mirabal. I don't think it was like the whole staff that went out.
Which, you know, we don't need to get into why or any of that.
Right.
But Miami was dead in this recruitment. And now they have some life in there. I'm sure Earl's dad wants to know who's going to be hired as the D coordinator, who are going to be the position coaches. We'll see if he visits this weekend. He has an official visit to use. But Florida's Billy Napier, I guess, is going to be at Plantation today and go in home. I don't know if Corey Raymond is part of that traveling party. I would assume they, you know, Gator Nation would try to make that happen with whatever jet they needed. Because remember, there was a time when Earl Little was considered pretty much an LSU lean. Like, he was going to go to LSU after that magical 15-1 season. Corey Raymond was a big reason why. Now Raymond is at Florida. So they're probably going to fight for that official visit. I mean, this recruitment's, it does make me laugh, but you know, with all these moving parts, I mean, 2 months ago, I would have been like, gun to my head, there's absolutely no way Earl Little isn't going to Alabama. Now it's like, well, he could end up at Miami or he could end up at Florida. So we'll see.
Is he an early guy or will he wait till February?
I don't think you can EE out of American Heritage. You can't. I don't know why I'm saying.
I'm saying, will he sign early or will he wait?
According to Pat Surtain, the Dolphin legend, I talked to him last night. The plan is for both him and Marvin Jones Jr. to sign on Wednesday, but I guess it's fluid. It's recruiting. Things could get pushed back.
And then real quick, I don't know if there's much here.
We jump in, which would be very on brand for American Heritage, because remember, it seems like every time they have a big guy, they do push it back.
Right. And the other guy I wanted to get to, Andrew, and if there's not much there, we can just move on quick, but Jaden Gibson, right? 4-star wide receiver, visited Miami in the summer. Florida, I guess, parted ways or something happened there where he decommitted. Is Miami in the mix there or not?
I think they're in the mix, but I do not anticipate them getting that final visit. I talked to Jaden late Wednesday night or after he had decommitted. He's like, my phone has not stopped ringing since I opened things back up. You know, some people speculated that Florida State was going to be the team to beat. I don't know why. I mean, I guess it was because Mike Norvell was there right away. And that's another school he's visited. But Jaden told me that it's either going to be Oklahoma or Texas A&M that gets his official visit this weekend. So we'll see. He is an early enrollee. Jeff Lebby, the new OC for the Sooners, is apparently going in home with him today. He has some ties to Central Florida. I don't know if a lot of people know that. Coached at Southeastern, which is outside of Lakeland, after his stint at Baylor. Speaking of Baylor, Baylor will also be in home. If I'm Baylor, the pitch is pretty dang easy. Hey, have you seen what Tyquan Thornton's doing? And that's a school he visited. And then Texas A&M, I mean, you know, 5-stars, all that stuff. So we'll see. I know he spoke with Mario. I just don't know if Miami has enough time and how much of a priority he is with a wide receiver coach not really officially in place.
And Gabby, real quick, we don't need to dwell on this, but what will this, as things stand now, Thursday afternoon, what does this weekend of official visits look like for Miami? Is it mainly commits? Are there any, I mean, we know Nigel Leak is coming, right? He's an uncommitted guy that's coming. Is there anyone else to know? And I'm sure this list will grow within the next 24 hours as well.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Andrew dropped that, you know, Wesley Bissaint's going to come. So that's another big name that's expected to be in. But right now, it feels like it's going to be a lot of commits. You know, Jakari Brown's expected to come down. Kamari Rogers is expected to come down. Chris Graves is expected to come down. We'll see what happens with, like, they're going to meet with Philinthia Carswell today. Let's see if maybe they're able to get him down here. Ole Miss has been in the mix there too. He got a visit from Lane Kiffin the other day. So it's going to be interesting. I don't know who else to really expect at this point. Again, it feels like this can change any time. So, I mean, we'll sort of see how this continues to sort of play out over the next, like, you know, maybe even like 12 hours to see how the afternoon goes and to see if there's anyone else that they're able to maybe consider, you know, getting in. They're at IMG right now. I mean, what happens if, like, they convince Kamari Wilson to officially visit again? I'm not saying that's going to happen, but who knows what happens there. And, you know, it could get pretty interesting.
Are there any shaky commits you feel like right now? Because I know, like, your eye was on Kamari Rogers. Do you feel like it's a good sign he's going to visit this weekend?
Yeah, I think that's a good thing. I think, you know, there was concern within Kamari Rogers' camp, I guess, that Mario Cristobal didn't view them as a part of their as a part of the future and all that stuff. I think some of that was put at ease because they had a conversation yesterday. You know, Kamari Rogers, his father, Mario Cristobal, they talked and stuff like that. And I think that's why they're excited to get down here now, is to just sort of continue to lay out that vision for, you know, where they see him fitting into, you know, Mario Cristobal's program. I know that there's people in there that are really excited about the future of Miami and, you know, where the direction of the program is sort of headed. So I think that they're really excited to be sort of, you know, included in that. And so maybe Chris Graves, I know he spoke to a reporter in Naples that, you know, sort of suggested that he's still a little bit open. Again, he was another guy that was that Corey Raymond was very big on. He officially visited LSU over the summer. He also, you know, took a trip to Florida. So Corey Raymond at Florida could maybe give the Gators, you know, some inroad into this whole recruitment. But again, I don't think he's an early enrollee as a kid at Bishop Vereaux. Typically, those Catholic private schools don't let you early enrollees. So I think it'll be interesting to see if Miami could sort of lock him up this weekend and get him to, you know, sign his name in ink on Wednesday, or if he pushes this back to February. I think that it could be a little bit more interesting.
All right. I just want to quickly pepper through some Oregon commits / targets that might be interested in Miami now. And the way I want to go through this is just I'll name the names. If you think Miami has a legit shot, we'll say yes. If not, we'll say no. If you're unsure, maybe, you know, we'll go yes, no, maybe. Okay. So let's start with you, Andrew. 5-star offensive lineman Kelvin Banks out of Texas, who is committed to Oregon. I guess Mario went to go visit him. Do you think there's a chance there or not?
I mean, I really don't know much about that. At the beginning of when I came on, you know, Gabby said that was the most impressive thing he had thought, that Mario had been able to get Miami a seat at the table. I think that is impressive. I mean, I don't know. I would assume they have a better chance with the next lineman than this guy, just kind of based on where it is. But I'm not ruling it out. I just not familiar enough.
Gabby, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I was sort of sorting through the Texas A&M board, which is a school he's been linked to, and Brian Peroni, who covers the Aggies, seemed to think that Miami wasn't a realistic destination. So I don't know. I'd probably say no at this point.
3-star offensive lineman Cameron Williams, who did visit Miami. Yes, no, maybe. Gabby?
Yeah, I would say yes. I would say that there's a good shot.
Okay. 4-star DB Jaleel.
Can we take a quick timeout real quick? I know this is rapid fire. If Miami were to get Williams and Banks, is that like the two best linemen they've got in the past 10 years, like out of nowhere?
Banks, certainly, yes. Williams, I don't know. I don't know much about either one of them, honestly.
Someone told me that Williams like plays point guard for his high school.
Yeah, he's like a legit basketball player. Not like legit, like recruited legit, but like he's like a very capable basketball player.
Interesting.
And apparently he moves around well,
and even though massive, he's like
6'5", 360 or whatever it is.
Yeah, that would be some good gets. 4-star DB Jaleel Tucker out of San Diego. He is a top 150. Gabby, yes, no, maybe.
No, I would say
Andrew,
no.
Andrew, you have an opinion?
No opinion, but if they visit USC, I mean, that's where they're going.
Yeah, do you feel that way about all these Jaleel Florence too, another San Diego guy?
Yeah.
USC.
Yeah.
I know. I will say that apparently they're like very close with Keyshawn Smith, the Miami's wide receiver.
Right.
Because that's same the same high school that he went to. But I don't know. I think it's too soon to turn that, to flip that into anything. Again, but if they push it back to February, maybe. Who knows what happens? But right now, I would not feel super good about that.
TJ Dudley, 4-star linebacker out of the state of Alabama, top 200 player, according to the composite. Gabby, what do you think?
Yeah, I talked to both Dudley and his mom, and they seemed like legitimately interested in, you know, the idea of Miami. You talked to him. I know he was just at an all-star game in Alabama, and he threw out schools like Clemson and LSU and Texas and Florida and all those types of things. But when I spoke to him, he seemed pretty interested in the idea of Miami. He committed to Mario Cristobal for a reason. And he said that when he got off the plane on his official visit at Oregon, Mario Cristobal was right there to greet him. So I think if Miami pursues, I think that they'd have a shot there.
You have an opinion, Andrew?
I have no opinion. He's probably a kid that needs to wait until February, but that's another episode of my thoughts.
I think that's what's going to happen, though.
Do you have an opinion, Andrew, on wide receiver Kevin Coleman out of St. Louis, a top 50 guy?
I mean, do you want me to be honest? Like, I'm not sure he's a top 50 guy.
Sure.
Yeah, that's just kind of my take. I mean, if we're assuming Brian McClendon is coming to Miami, then I would think Miami has a chance. And just going on the theme of this, like, I think there could be some surprise, just guys on campus. And he would fit that category of just like, oh, okay. Like he's visiting, just cause he has some ties with whoever or whatnot.
Right. Gabby, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. Again, like I think it's just kind of like a really quick turnaround, especially with the wide receiver coach not in place. Like if Brian McClendon is the guy, which we believe he is, like when is that going to be announced? I don't know if that's going to happen soon enough for like Kevin Coleman to just be like, unless he is told specifically that that is what's happening, for him to just be like, all right, I will use that official visit to come this weekend. And if that will be enough without like, you know, the ink dry or anything like that, for him to just decide like, hey, I'm going to come to Miami, if he's going to sign early, which I honestly don't know if he is.
All right. So we will wrap this up on this thought here. Miami is currently, 56, I think, in the country in terms of their team ranking. 8 commitments. I want to set the bar high, and I want to ask both of you, can Miami finish with a top 20 class, in your opinion? Can they jump 36 spots between now and February signing day? Andrew.
Oh, I think it's absolutely doable. If you run the numbers with that class calculator, you add Nigel Lee Kelly and Earl Little, you're borderline top 25, I think, and you got to assume they're going to add someone else. So, I mean, I'm not calling Earl Little a lock, but yeah, I think it's definitely doable for sure.
Yeah, I think like we're just kind of piggybacking on that. I think there's an avenue to top 20. I did like my dream class thing, and in that scenario, they're like top like 7, which is insane. But, you know, there's definitely an avenue to top 20. I could see it, even if it's like, you know, 19, 18, maybe 20 exactly. But it could happen. I wouldn't be like super surprised or even like devastated if it didn't happen. Cause like, again, this is all happening very quickly, but I do think that that it's possible.
I guess I should maybe, now that I think about it, I mean, if you remove like a Kamari Rogers, that would move you down.
Right. Or like a Chris Graves, if that were to happen.
Right. And in terms of commits, I know Gabby didn't mention that, like Landon Ibieta, I would assume is probably not. Yeah.
I would guess that.
He's not going to sign. I'm sorry.
Yeah. He's picked up a few offers the past few days, right?
Yeah. And so LSU's wide receiver coach took off to Nebraska, and I guess I know LSU was always rumored to be flirting with him a little bit, and since the wide receiver coach took the Nebraska job, he offered Ibieta to go to Nebraska. So I think that could be a situation to sort of monitor if you know, Ibieta sort of, you know, goes that route. And I know Louisville offered too, so I think those are two interesting programs that like to sort of watch down the stretch here. He always said like if the staff was in place, he would come to Miami, but if that staff wasn't there, he probably wouldn't. And I think he's a guy that you have to like specifically, and I'm not sure if he's going to be a dude that they sort of that this staff maybe envisions. And again, I'm not reporting that or anything, I'm just sort of reading tea leaves and sort of understanding of how this could potentially go.
All right, there will be a lot of recruiting news over the next 6 to 8 weeks. Want to thank Andrew for jumping on with us. Gabby, great stuff as always. Want to highlight too, we got a annual subscription deal. Get an annual sub for $53. Hundreds and hundreds of people have taken advantage. We thank you for that support. If you haven't yet, come join the party. Gabby and Andrew are both killing it with the recruiting scoop for the Miami Hurricanes Mario Cristobal era. So with that, appreciate all you guys listening. On the next podcast, Gabby and I will recap kind of the official visit weekend fallout. And till next time, take care.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.